Upheaval. Reckoning. Chapter 32. What Must Be Done.
The sun was setting by the time Vanguard called for a halt. Twilight felt torn between following orders and protesting. Her body desperately wanted to protest. She was exhausted and aching all over. Her mind wanted to press on until they found Rainbow. That fool. Her worry and anger mixed into an unpleasant cloud above her. The mission should have been over. Instead, they were trekking across Equestria, saddled with the impossible job of trying to keep up with the fastest flyers they had ever known. Those two might make it all the way to the southern barrier land at the speed they were going. They escaped one Ophidite, but they might end up surrounded by an army of the things.
Stupid, stupid Rainbow. We have so many things to take care of besides this.
Applejack walked beside Twilight and looked at her worriedly.
You okay, Twi?
Twilight nodded. Applejack also looked tired, but not as much as she was. That was mortifying, considering that Applejack was walking around and barding.
It's the conditioning, she reminded herself. She's used to hard work, and to that barding.
Ahead, Vanguard nodded towards a stand of trees.
We'll set up camp for tonight.
As they continued south, the rolling terrain of McIntosh Hills had given way to a flatter, more forested region. Twilight had never been this far south of Canterlot. They had the San Palomino Desert to the west and the Badlands to the east. She was thankful that they didn't have to trek through all that dryness, but that was a small comfort. The ground was rugged and uneven, with bushes scattered all around. Snow hadn't touched this part of Equestria. They had a fire going pretty quickly. By the time it was dark, they were all sitting next to a steady blaze and munching on concentrated feed. As her frustrated worries about Rainbow receded into the darkness with their surroundings, Twilight was finally forced to confront something that she had been avoiding throughout their trip. She had just killed ponies. Not just a pony. She killed several in a single stroke of lightning. She hadn't dared to so much as glance at what she had wrought. The sickening smell of burned flesh nearly made her faint. Even without seeing them, her mind formed unwanted images. Badly charred fur, partly melted skin, mouths open and frozen screams. She shuddered and fought back the urge to vomit. She should have been prepared for this. She had been caught off guard when she killed her first wolven. This should have been different. She had been ready. She believed that she was ready when she asked to join Special Operations. What was all that preparation for? When she first saw Rainbow's kidnapper, she had readily thrown aside any other thought besides saving her friend. Captain Badark had called them pony-shaped Ophidites. She had held out those words as if they were a shield as she cast her spell. They didn't get to scream. She barely caught any of their features before the blast charred them beyond recognition. Perhaps that was a blessing. They were kidnappers working for the enemy. That was all she needed. She didn't want to know their names or how they ended up where they were. If she did, she would hesitate, and Rainbow would be lost. All of that was in the moment of spellcasting. When they followed Rainbow's reckless charge, the thoughts she had so eagerly shoved aside slowly crept back. She looked for ways to delay the inevitable. She focused on the scenery, thought about how much of an idiot Rainbow was, and tried to keep up with the others without looking like she was exerting herself. Sitting by the fire, she felt alone with her thoughts, even with Applejack and Vanguard only a few feet away. The justifications came to mind first. They were the ones that easily found words. The guilt was a heavy presence that accused her without having to say anything. She had to do it. Orders were orders. What was she supposed to have done? Argue with Vanguard and give Rainbow's captors time to react? She would have given that jerk, Badark, another reason to cast doubts on her.
I say Third Squad should lead the attack on this one, Badark said. The rest of his squad had already taken their seats in the briefing room.
Any particular reason why, Badark?
Vanguard asked.
It's a perfect opportunity to cut your new squad's teeth. It's also their friend, and one of your squad mates on the line here.
Badark's stare was hard and challenging.
I'd really like to see what Third Squad can do with its chosen members. After all, the youngest captain in Special Operations must have picked them because they made the cut, not because they're pretty, or they asked nicely, or because they have a lot of clout in the Heartland.
Twilight bristled and was about to say something, but Applejack held her down with a hoof to her shoulder. Twilight's hesitation would have only given Badark more reasons to cast his doubts. Vanguard had taken a big risk in letting her join his squad. She couldn't afford making him look like a fool for agreeing to her request. Even if... Like a pair of hooves pressing tightly against her throat, the guilt silenced her reasons. None could stand before the fact that she had killed those ponies. She squirmed in place, then looked to the two who shared the fire with her. This was far from the first time Vanguard had killed a pony. Indeed, the first time she had encountered him, he was on a mission to do just that. As for Applejack, Applejack didn't seem bothered. She sat next to Vanguard like a perfect soldier while Twilight squirmed and wrestled with her conscience. It wasn't fair. Rainbow had done her share of killing, too, as did Rarity. In fact, both of them killed a pony inside Clover's refuge. They didn't struggle like this. Was she really so weak? A miserable little chosen who balked each time she had to
protect Equestria.
Pyre's image loomed across her thoughts. Her scorching presence sent even the oppressive guilt quailing. Twilight remembered that fierce gaze and the bruising grip of those hooves. Most of all, Twilight remembered the angry, mocking tone Pyre used to hurl her final words. Protect Equestria. She was doing that. She had always been doing that. Yet, Pyre challenged her as if she had only come upon the idea recently. She matched Pyre's angry glare with one of her own.
I will protect Equestria. You nag! I don't need you to tell me, she thought.
The image of the dead ponies threatened to emerge again, but she used her growing anger to shove the thought aside. She refused to be smothered by this guilt. She will protect Equestria.
No matter the cost, and no matter who pays it.
Twilight balked at those words. Surely there had to be a limit. Pyre had gone too far. Too many lives had been sacrificed to break the barrier. It shouldn't have cost that much. But there was sense in Pyre's words. Not only that, they were the ones that offered respite from the guilt.
Put it above yourself and whatever small, pathetic personal goals you might have.
Twilight stared at Applejack again. Small, pathetic, personal goals. Trying to keep up, worrying about Applejack's affections towards Vanguard. Was that what it meant to have small, pathetic, personal goals? Were they hindering her as Pyre accused them of being? Applejack suddenly flinched, then stared right back. For Applejack, a certain sense of monotony helped dull the ache of what she had just done. As they walked across Equestria to catch up to Rainbow, she simply let all her thoughts glaze over and put one hoof in front of the other. The rhythm settled in, just as it would back in Sweet Apple Acres. Buck the tree, collect the apples, haul the baskets away. Simple, demanding work that left her muscles aching by the end of the day. As the sun set, she would look forward to getting a nice long bath and lying on her bed with that satisfied feeling of another day's work completed. When Vanguard called for a halt, she was panting and sweating. This was the first time she had to travel so far in her barding. There was comfort in her fatigue, though. One way to look at it, she had done a good day's work. Rainbow was still out there with Scarlet, but it was better than being taken away by an evil snake to a life of slavery. She helped gather the wood, then stood back as Twilight blasted a blaze into being. The sight of the fire bursting from Twilight's horn brought Applejack back to those moments. The enchanted chain was still coiled around her neck, and it felt especially cold against her coat. Lassoing had always been a sport to her, fancy tricks to impress the other ponies, win ribbons at the rodeo, and to catch some critter. That all changed in those moments. She had felt the pony's neck snap through the chain. It was as if the sound traveled through the links and made its way to her mouth. She had nearly dropped it in her surprise. The chain was Apple Slice's weapon. The one bad apple was no farmer. He wasn't a regular in rodeos either. This thing had never seen any other use than hurting and killing. How many enemies of Equestria did Apple Slice kill with this thing? How many was she going to add to its count? Am I going to be the other bad apple or something? She thought. Applejack looked up again and found Twilight staring at her so intensely that she flinched. What's that look for? She asked silently. Was it scorn? How much of her thoughts did her face show? Twilight probably saw right through her. Twilight killed several ponies with a single spell and insisted on joining Special Operations. Compared to that determination, Applejack's doubts must come off as weakness.
The two of you listen,
Vanguard said. Applejack shook her head and paid attention. Twilight did the same.
I'll take the first watch. Get some sleep. The both of you will take the second watch afterwards.
Shouldn't we divide the watches into three? Twilight asked.
My apologies. Did I sound like I was making polite suggestions?
Vanguard settled into a comfortable position, while the two turned in for the night. It was likely well past midnight when Vanguard woke Twilight and Applejack up for the next watch. Twilight wondered how he was able to walk so far in such heavy armor, then go on to take the first watch without any problem. He didn't even look like he was straining to stay up. His division of the watches also baffled her. He could have gotten more sleep if he chose to let her and Applejack take separate watches.
Hey, Twilight, Applejack said.
She yawned and sat just a foot away.
Hey,
Twilight replied. Silence reigned after that brief exchange. Twilight felt ashamed. That was how random strangers greeted each other. Not good friends. Surely she had something more to say to Applejack than that.
This is some mission, huh?
She asked. She cringed at the second attempt.
Yeah, Applejack replied. Some mission.
Again, they were silent. Dawn was creeping up on them, and all they had to fill the time was the gentle crackling of the fire. Twilight looked to Vanguard. He had his back turned to them. How could he sleep in that suit of his without chafing or waking up stiff was beyond her.
Twilight.
Twilight turned her attention back to Applejack.
Yes?
Applejack leaned forward.
How do you do it? Do what?
Twilight looked at Applejack in confusion.
You know,
Applejack dragged a front hoof against the ground.
Burning through those ponies just like that, then marching on like it was nothing. I don't know if I could be strong like that. What?
Twilight stared at Applejack, a hint of indignation creeping up on her for a moment. When it was clear that Applejack wasn't making fun of her, she lowered her voice.
It's not like that at all. I thought you were the one who snapped that pony's neck and marched on without any worries.
Applejack's eyes widened.
Without any... You mean...
Silence again. This time, it wasn't the empty silence of being unable to voice anything out. Understanding filled the void, one that didn't require words.
I thought I'd be stronger by now,
Twilight said softly. She breathed a bit easier now. She tossed a twig into the fire.
Strong enough to do what has to be done without flinching so much.
I don't think it has anything to do with being strong,
Applejack replied.
If it does, I don't think I want to be that kind of strong.
No matter the cost.
Twilight let the orange-red glare fill her vision. The blaze reminded her of the burning carnage Pyre Valor left of the Woven Camp during her first encounter, of her first fireball, and their fight on that rooftop. Pyre Valor was that kind of strong. It was a strength that she needed, especially now against Black Rose. She had listened to Rarity's story about Lioncourt, and it confirmed what she had feared even back in Bastion City. Ponies served Black Rose. To fight that false Alicorn, she would have to fight those ponies.
It's not a matter of us wanting to or not, she said.
Applejack stretched out her forelegs and rested her head on them.
It just ain't right, she said. How's killing other ponies supposed to be for the good of Equestria?
Twilight's expression hardened. Her relief dissipated like droplets of water before this fire. She would have felt the same some time ago, but they were fighting for so much here. They needed this sort of strength. Applejack had achieved so much already, hearing the Queen's voice, receiving that strange shield, that magical chain and a promotion. Hearing her talk like this was infuriating, and the fury lessened the ache from her guilt.
Then why did you join up with Special Operations?
She asked.
What did you think we were going to be doing?
Applejack looked like Twilight had lunged at her with a weapon.
Well, it was because...
Twilight's eyes narrowed. It's not just because Vanguard asked you, is it? Applejack looked away. That was a guilty enough expression. That's just one reason, Applejack murmured. She stared at some faraway point and repeatedly glanced back to Twilight. The words came so swiftly that Twilight almost didn't even notice that her lips were already moving. That's pathetic. The hurt look on Applejack's face was swiftly followed by an angry, defensive glare. Oh, yeah? She asked, her voice rising. What's your reason? To protect Equestria. Well, I want to protect Equestria, too. That doesn't mean that should be the only reason. The first rays of dawn began to emerge, but the two of them greeted it wordlessly. It was a sullen Applejack who went over to wake a Vanguard. Twilight's chest tightened. She had gone too far, and she didn't even know why. Where were these sudden bursts of anger towards Applejack coming from? She had to put that aside for now. With the new day's arrival, the hunt for Rainbow was back on. Rainbow opened her eyes to the sight of a dying campfire. She stared at the blurry image for a while, unsure of whether she was dreaming or not. Then she rolled over and tried to get in just a bit more sleep. When it entered her mind that she didn't remember setting any camp or going to sleep, she sat upright. Good morning, Scarlet said. He sat opposite of her with a wide grin on his face. Just in time for breakfast. He tossed her a bundle of greens. I hope you like randomly picked grass. I'm not really familiar with the greens this far south. If you're feeling adventurous, I also found a few mushrooms over there. Scarlet? Rainbow asked. What happened? Why was I asleep? She looked around her. They were still in the woods they had crashed into. Scarlet chuckled. Don't remember, huh? It was pretty hilarious. You were standing there all heroically, saying that we should go. Then you took your first step and you plopped right on your snout. Before Rainbow could make an annoyed reply, he fell into a somber mood. Well, now that you're up, I'm off. Rainbow blinked at the sudden change in Scarlet's tone. Wait, what? What do you mean you're off? Where are you going? Off to kill Haseeth. Where else? Scarlet replied. He took one more step before Rainbow was already standing in front of him. No, Rainbow said. I've talked to you about this the last time, didn't I? You don't have to do this. Scarlet didn't look fazed. Maybe I don't have to, but I sure would like to before I die. Die? The word left Rainbow perplexed. She took a step back. When Scarlet was about to take flight, she stood right in front of him again. Why would you die? She asked. The captain's gonna kill me, Scarlet said. By now, I'm sure he knows about me trying to race you against his orders. Even if he doesn't, he's going to find out. He looked far away for a moment, seeing something that Rainbow couldn't see. I hope he just cuts off my head or something. I'm not too keen on hanging. It takes too long, and you have all these ponies staring. The captain? Rainbow asked. Vanguard? There's no way Vanguard would kill you. You're his squadmate. Oh, he will. He said so. When the captain says he'll do something, he's going to do it. He's awesome that way. The admiration in Scarlet's tone faded. But I don't like that I'm going to die while Haseeth's alive, he growled. I'm going to kill that snake bastard first, then go back to let the captain do his job. That's stupid, Rainbow insisted. I won't let you. Scarlet frowned and tried to sidestep Rainbow. Look, I stuck around because you were unconscious and in the middle of nowhere. You're fine now. Go be the element of loyalty somewhere or something. Scarlet flew past Rainbow. Before he could disappear into a streak of red, she had already grabbed him by the tail with her mouth. Scarlet's hind leg lashed out, smashing into Rainbow's chin and sending her tumbling several feet backwards. He paused to check on her briefly before flying off. He managed a few feet more before she was already hovering in front of him. You're starting to piss me off, Rainbow, Scarlet said. What do you want? I'm not letting you throw your life away, Rainbow replied. We're going back. Don't you get it? Scarlet shouted. I'm already dead. I just want to take Haseeth out with me. No, you're not, Rainbow shouted back. I won't let Vanguard kill you, or Prince Dorado, or anybody else in the Legion. This race is my fault, too. If they kill you, they have to kill me, too. Get out of my way, Rainbow. Scarlet's voice dropped low. No, Rainbow's voice was just as steely.
So you think because you caught up to me that you're hot stuff, huh?
Scarlet raised his forelegs in a fighting stance. Rainbow tensed. She did catch up to him. She didn't feel like a winner, though. She didn't know how she won. Did she accomplish it by being faster than him? Or did being the bearer of the element of loyalty give her an advantage? Those moments were muddled with too much urgency and high emotion. Maybe she did win. Maybe she had already proven that she was faster than him. That didn't matter at this moment.
I'm gonna hit you with a right hoof straight to the face, Scarlet said. No tricks, just an onward rush and a straight right hoof to the face.
Rainbow raised her forelegs. A straight right hoof to the face should be easy enough to block. She had only seen Scarlet fight with a crossbow, and he could be a crafty hoof-to-hoof fighter, but there was sincerity in his words.
Are you ready?
Scarlet asked. A second passed, and he started to move. Rainbow didn't know what happened between that second and the part when she was flying from a straight right hoof to the face. It appeared as if she had blinked, and he had struck her. But did she blink? Or was that brief darkness already his hoof closing in on her face? She struck the muddy ground, rolling past grass and loose stones before slamming back first into a tree.
Sorry about that, Scarlet called out. You were being really stubborn.
Rainbow was on her hooves at once. Her vision was blurry and spinning, but she flapped her wings. She instinctively flew towards Scarlet's voice. Again, she was hovering in front of Scarlet before he could fly anywhere. The look of utter surprise in his face nearly made it worth getting smashed by his hooves. Rainbow let herself smile a little. Some blood leaked from a nostril and left a metallic taste on her lips.
Just let me go already, Scarlet called out. No.
Scarlet raised a hoof as if to strike again.
I'll knock your brains out, he snarled. I'll break your wings so you can't follow me.
No. His forelegs shook, and his teeth ground so hard that Rainbow could have sworn she heard them from where she was. Finally, he relaxed.
Why not?
Rainbow's smile widened slightly.
I don't like losing, she said. That includes friends.